Yaja stalked down the corridor. Its greenish enamel was peeling away from the metal in flakes, leaving behind multicolored fungal splotches on the bulkhead. The assurance she'd felt moments before had evaporated. It could have been the creepy surroundings, or the ceaseless rocking of the sea, the creaking of the rig, or even the cannonading of the rising storm. None of these sensations were as terrible as the one inside her head that told her she was all alone, and that there was no way out. Captive though she was, Yaja had been allowed total freedom to roam the platform since she'd been brought aboard. It wasn't as if she could swim away, let alone commandeer the sleek helicopter tied invitingly to the southwest corner of the platform. Even if she could escape on one of the small boats, she'd face nearly certain death. The North Sea killed even veteran sailors. Anya was her only chance of making it out alive. With her mind beginning to run wild, Yaja decided to drop in on the security room. Even its creepy company was more enjoyable than being left alone with her fears. It was a level down from the commissary at the bottom of a narrow steel stairway. Inside sat two Albanians with their backs to a bank of closed-circuit monitors showing visual feeds from cameras positioned all about the rig. A Walther machine pistol lay on a table near one of them. Though the men never seemed particularly vigilant, they seemed especially relaxed tonight. Any attempt to get on or off the rig would be nearly suicidal in weather like this. They looked up, offering courteous nods, but no words. The younger man, not much older than Yaja herself, was clearly flattered by her presence. He shot her an awkward, shy smile. She sent a slight one back. The monitors were flashing images from around the platform at their backs, but the men paid no attention. Clearly, there was nothing out there but the raging sea. Yaja propped her rump against the edge of a table and let her eyes drift lazily over the other monitors. Then they backtracked quickly and went wide. A squall broke like a dark sheet ripping apart before their eyes, and through the rain-streaked windshield, Anya abruptly saw it. The platform was a rectilinear steel castle, its pylons obscured by waves, mist, and solid sheets of rain floating in the air before them. It had been a masterful feat of flying by Tex, who had deliberately swung wide of the station in order to approach from out at sea, the least likely direction its occupiers would expect. But the relief that had initially washed over Anya was quickly crowded from her mind by a new throng of fears that materialized by the millisecond. First and foremost, the platform looked awfully close.
Doesn't it take runway space even for Ariel to taxi to a stop?
Usually.
And aren't we, well, kind of low?
I'm bagging two birds with one cliché.
Tex grabbed the throttle, dropping the engine power suspiciously low. The ultralight wallowed in the heavy, turbulent air mere feet above the waves like a moth over a flame. Even worse, the grim gray cliff of steel seemed close enough to touch. Anya squeezed her eyes, bracing for impact.
Hold on.
Tex yanked the yoke hard against his stomach, pushing Ariel's nose up. The plane soared. Anya watched the dark, tangled underside of the platform rushing by outside. Then, to her horror, they passed the upper edge of the deck, nearly glancing it. At the same time, she felt the airplane lose lift as gravity sucked away its momentum. At just the right instant, the nose pitched down with a last surge of forward movement. Anya squeezed shut her eyes. The plane stalled at precisely the right moment, dropping its speed to just a few dozen miles per hour in the air. The craft swooped gently about 10 feet inboard before going perpendicular to the platform. Anya opened her eyes. The plane had fallen flat on its landing gear, coming to a dead stop, completely intact. Yaja was amazed that at the very least the security guards had not noticed her eyes nearly bug from her head. She had watched right over their shoulders as the tiny, oddly shaped plane on screen had made a series of virtually impossible maneuvers and come to a hard but successful landing on the steel deck of the drilling platform. Yaja pushed off from the table, deliberately angling her skinny body into position between the monitor and the guards. As she watched, a lean man she didn't recognize popped out of the tiny craft. A moment later, the unmistakable form of Anya Creed scrambled out into the torrential downpour of rain. Yaja's steps wobbled slightly as the sinews holding her knees together seemed to turn to rubber bands. She reached a hand up to the monitor and put her whole palm against the screen just as it flickered twice and went black. Hurriedly, she grabbed for one of the little knobs at the bottom of the screen and began to fiddle with it furiously.
Hey, girly, what you do there?
It started to flicker. There were scan lines all over the screen, but it went out before I could do anything.
Yaja turned toward the two men with a shrug and her best helpless little girl smile. While she might not have known a lot about people and their emotional complexities, she had mastered her manipulation skills early in life. The younger, more alert of the two guards jumped to his feet.
Could she have sabotaged it?
Relax, these sets are old. It must have burned out a tube. And anyway, if anything happens, it's not going to happen on that side of the platform. In this weather, I'd like to see someone try to get on this rig coming from the sea.
I'd say you cut it a little close there, Tex.
The cowboy grinned back at Anya Creed through the nearly solid wall of rain. The precipitation was coming down so hard that each exploding raindrop seemed to bounce 2 feet into the air off the steel decking.
Actually, it went just as planned. Did you think we were going to fast rope down from the plane while it passed over the platform? Let's move!
Do you think they felt us hit?
A massive wave hit the rig, sending a torrent of water over Anya's entire body. The platform, as large as it was, shivered and swayed perceptibly from the blow.
My God!
Oh. Don't get too upset! The storm turned out to be helpful after all, given that we, you know, survived and everything.
They crouched down uncomfortably on the seaward side of the plane, so that even if they were spotted, their enemies couldn't identify them personally. Given the odds stacked against them, they had to take advantage of anything even resembling an advantage. Anya reached through the open door of the plane, grabbing several spare magazines and stuffing them into the utility vest she had worn since takeoff from Papa Westray. The pistol was already packed into a spring-loaded brake-front holster on her right hip. Tex reached around her into the cockpit, hefting out the combat shotgun.
If you don't mind, ma'am, I'll take this. Should balance things out, you having the magical close combat weapon and all. Now you wait here for a minute.
Before Anya could agree or refuse, Tex had bent over and taken off running toward the helicopter parked along the western edge of the platform 40 yards away. Anya crouched behind the ultralight, which had been spray-painted in irregular streaks of blue, gray, and green. The rudimentary camouflage seemed to break up the silhouette pretty well, and certainly didn't magnetically draw the eye the way the brilliant white of the plane's original paint job had. She fleetingly hoped Ariel could be restored to her owner as good as new. Something told her that the chances were not good. Tex came sprinting back, holding the shotgun slung over his shoulder with one hand to keep the butt from pounding his kidneys.
What was that about?
Quick inspection! Let's get going!
Lee and Gerhardt stood huddled just inside the stairwell leading to the inner heart of the platform. They had been given strict orders to maintain their positions outside, guarding the helicopter and radar tower, but a force as powerful as a North Sea gale changed everything. They had agreed that if they got caught, their bosses would just have to understand.
See, I figure I'm like the Al Leong character. Al Leong's like in all these movies. He was always super rad, but nobody ever like recognized him. He was just some Asian guy with long hair and a mustache. He never got any credit. He never got a shot at the big roles. It was total discrimination. But the other thing about Al Leong was his character like always got taken out first. You know, it's always the Asian dude who dies first. I figure that's why they hired me. I'm basically the canary in the coal mine.
Lee?
The German turned to face a fierce-looking woman clutching Lee from behind with an arm around his throat. The kid's eyes were rolled up in his head. Gerhardt's mind went into overload. There was absolutely no way anyone could have boarded the platform in the current weather. He stood for a moment with his jaw hanging open, trying to get his garbled mind back in one piece. He wouldn't get the chance. Tex's shotgun came crashing down on Gerhardt's head, blasting him out of consciousness. Anya could tell the man's Asian friend was completely unconscious from his non-reaction. She dropped him to the ground, face first, and dropped a knee on his kidney. Taking his hands, she trussed his wrists behind his back with a pierced plastic strip. Tex followed suit with the German.
Are these actually passive restraints?
Nope. Just some cable ties I got from Gannett. Don't fret, they'll work fine.
Anya stuffed a small wadded rag into her victim's slack-lipped, drooling mouth, and Tex rolled the German onto his back. Gerhardt's eyes flickered open, seeming to wander at random in their sockets. Tex grabbed the man by his peacoat and shook him.
Hey, you! Can you hear me? How many of you are there on the platform? Hey! Answer me! How many are on the platform?
20. Maybe more.
Where's the girl?
I don't know. She has a room on the top deck. But she can go anywhere she likes.
Great. Thanks, buddy.
Tex grabbed a rag from his pocket and shoved it in the prone man's mouth. Anya was glad they hadn't had to kill these two, but she also knew they were probably going to be the last she and Tex could afford to spare. From this point on, it was going to be a kill-or-be-killed situation.
So, there could be more than 20 of them?
There must be some kind of operation going on here beyond kidnapping underage linguistic prodigies. Speaking of whom, Yaja could be anywhere right now.
Great. I guess that means we have to check this place deck by deck.
Looks like it. We might as well check out the gangways first. If we start poking into all the compartments, we'll raise the alarm pretty fast.
They both peered up the unlit stairwell, seeing nothing but darkness. Safety standards did not seem to be foremost on the minds of the rig's proprietors. Anya followed Tex up the metal stairs. Both moved quietly, but it was probably effort wasted between the thunderous wind and sea. Pausing on the railed-in landing, Tex peered through a small window in a metal door leading inside.
It's pitch black in there. We'll have to use our lights. It's too bad we couldn't get any night vision gear, but we'll just have to work with what we got. I'll use my light, but we should try to be sparing with the batteries for now. Use yours as sparingly as possible, all right?
Yeah, everything is under control, Tex.
Sorry. Here I am, lecturing you. I guess you're more current on doing this run-and-gun stuff than I am.
Tex turned back towards the door. Anya slipped through behind Winston, easing it shut behind her. She felt bad for having snapped at Tex. Virtually without incentive, the man had flown halfway across Europe to risk his life helping her. Tex advanced along the corridor, holding his shotgun leveled at the waist by the grip and the long sling around his neck. The little black flashlight he held in his left hand was shining out the bottom of his fist. The hallway was lined with doors on either side. Holding her unlit penlight in her left hand, Anya followed about 12 paces behind. She considered drawing her pistol, but decided to leave it in its holster for now. Instead, she slid her hand into the otherwear, wrapping her right hand around the hilt of Joan's sword, and drew it. She was more comfortable fighting hand-to-hand, and she preferred the quiet weapon. Suddenly, one of the hatches on the right side of the corridor slid open quickly and quietly just as Tex passed by, completely oblivious. Anya watched as the figure of a man stepped out behind him, a black submachine gun pointed directly at Tex's back. Anya lunged forward. She slashed the man with the machine pistol across the back, slicing a gaping, mortal wound. Tex wheeled into action, turning to face his already neutralized adversary. Someone flipped a switch in the room the man had just emerged from, sending light pouring from the open door. Anya was moving already, whipping through the hatch and into the compartment. A man in a stained undershirt and dark running pants sat blinking sleepily, his bare feet dangling off the edge of his bunk. Though his friend's cry had awakened him, he hadn't yet had time to assess the situation and prepare a defense. His eyes grew wide at the sight of Anya, and he grabbed for a Beretta lying on a table nearby. Creed lunged, and in one fluid motion stabbed the tip of her sword through the man's thick, unshaved neck. A thick stream of blood splattered against the bulkhead, entirely covering a light bulb clamped to the bunk and bathing the room in scarlet. Anya yanked the weapon free, and the man slumped to the floor. Tex was just rising from beside the first corpse Anya had left behind when she emerged into the main passageway. He held out the dead guard's weapon by the barrel, offering it to Anya.
Walther MP3, 9mm. Controls are pretty standard. Can you use it?
Anya reached out and took it with her left hand, intending to keep the sword in her right. Turning the Walther on its side, she found the charging lever and the safety.
I think so, thanks. This'll give me a bit more punch than the pistol I brought along.
Thank you, Anya. I reckon I owe you one for the safe.
Tex took his shotgun in both hands and took the lead as they continued back down the corridor. Rogue Angel is continued on the next CD.